greet each one in Jesus' name this morning. Happy to see each one here. There's one missing this morning. Let's not forget him. Trevor's not with us this morning. Serving in, I believe it's Georgia. Let's keep him in our prayers this week as he serves there. That also is an important work because it's for the Lord. I wasn't totally sure how to open the subject that was laid in my heart this morning, but I thought maybe of opening it with a question, maybe to the children, to help them to understand a little bit what we want to talk about. The title of the message this morning is Perspectives in Effective Evangelism. So we are called to be diligent and reaching out to the people around us. As we think of that, I'm going to take my text, the text for the message from Luke chapter 8, verse 4 to 15. There it is, the parable of the sower. For the children, that to just get you a little understanding of what we're going to talk about this morning, you know, you thought I'd make something simple. You know, every spring we take seeds that are, and we plant our gardens, and farmers take seeds and plant their crops. Every seed, that package of seed that you get, has gone through a process of a germination test to see what the germination is on that. And there's got to be a certain percentage of them seeds that have to germinate out of the seed they use to test, in order for it to be, for them to market it. But the seed we want to talk about this morning, the germination test on that is 100% effective, because it is good seed. There's not any bad seed in this seed. But it's up to the sower to do it properly and to do it effectively. So when you plant, I'm sure you children will help plant seeds in the springtime. And you have fun watching them come up. I know I enjoy that. But this kind of seed that we want to talk about this morning is a seed that we don't only just plant in springtime, but we plant it year round. It's something that we're called to do throughout life, every day. And it's takes a lot of work. Takes a lot of effort too. But I think there's so much more blessing and enjoyment in watching this seed prosper than even the physical seed that we get to watch grow. Because eventually it's going to die. And we all know that someday we'll die too. But when we die in the Lord, there's life that continues to live on. Whereas this seed, once it dies, it does create more seed that can live too. Another interesting thing is if you look at a natural seed and you go plant it in the fall, it can lay dormant for all winter long. Cold weather, it just lays dormant there in the ground. And some of the seeds that we sow in a spiritual sense, reaching out to people, can sort of lay dormant too for a while. And doesn't mean it's doesn't have any effect, but eventually, when springtime enters the heart, or God speaks to a person maybe a little bit later of something they heard later, earlier on, that seed comes to life. So I want to bring out some points in effective evangelism and reaching out and nurturing the seeds that are planted in a spiritual sense. So we look at evangelism, it takes a lot of work, it takes dedication, and it takes commitment, but it is the most worthy cause that we can have on this side of eternity. And I believe the things we want to look at this morning is important to maintain this perspective of evangelism. We'll just read our text at this time, Luke chapter 8, verse 4 to 15. And when much people were gathered together and were come to him out of every city, he spake by a parable. The parable of the sower. A sower went out to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some fell by the wayside as it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. And some fell upon a rock. As soon as it was sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. And some fell upon thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. And other fell on good ground and sprang up and bare fruit, and hundredfold. And when he had said these things, he cried, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." I thought it was interesting, even in our Sunday school lesson this morning. Pharaoh had a hard heart. That seed, his heart was like the seed that fell upon a rock. It just didn't get anywhere. Our responsibility in sowing the seed, yes, we take careful preparation and plant, preparing the ground. I believe that is very important. But our most important duty is to just get out there and get the job done and sow the seed. There's many stony hearts, there's thorns out there that are there to threaten and choke it out. But that is our call, is to be active in sowing where we can. Many people start out with great enthusiasm to plant seeds and then later get discouraged. Maybe they run into somebody that's just told them off, or I thought about different responses that we get when we go to in cities and hand out literature, street meetings or whatever, and you get all kinds of responses. Some are receptive to it and others are just turn their backs, maybe make a snide comment to you. Let's not let that discourage us from getting busy and sowing the seed. I will never forget going to Bible school, and we went Carbon Hill one weekend. On one afternoon, they took the students to I forget what the town was, but there was this place where they had a university. And there was this black man that was in Bible school with us. I think his name was Victor. And I just was so impressed by his zeal. We were handing out literature, and there was group singing, of youth singing. And anyway, I was passing out tracts with this black fella, and he just was almost bouncing on his feet. He was so enthused, and he got responses like that. People just ignored him. But one man especially, he stood out to me. He was jogging down the sidewalk, and Victor steps out to offer him something, and he just looked straight ahead and just kept jogging. So what did Victor do? He just jogged right along beside him, right beside him, just talking to him, and just talking to him. Finally, the man just took the track. I thought that taught me a lesson. He wasn't going to give up, but he was very nice about it. He was very kind. He was faithful in sowing that seed. And for all we know, just Victor's way of going about that might have stood out to that man and made him put it in his pocket and read it later. We don't know. So it does take effort. There are ways that are especially crucial to maintaining enthusiasm and evangelism, persistence, and believing in the seed that we're sowing. The enthusiasm comes from that, because we know it's real. We do it from the heart, because it's had an effect on our own lives. All of us as parents have been blessed, I believe, by the blessings we can experience in God being faithful, even though we are so human at so many times, in seeing the blessings of the reaping of sowing seed through our families. What a blessing that is. We can give God the glory for that. I believe another important part is let's forget about ourselves and who we are and just do our part as faithful servants where God has called us to in sowing this seed. Let's instill enthusiasm in serving as laborers in the vineyard of the Lord. In the test today, the first principle we can find from this parable is that power is in the seed. This seed is God's inspired word, the Bible we can have and hold in our hands. It's so powerful. It's so powerful that it can reach the innermost parts of man, and it can even touch the hardest of hearts. I believe when God sees a willing heart who is willing to step out even in times when men are so much against us, but we're willing to step out, God can move and touch in ways that we cannot comprehend or understand because we are faithful in just planting that seed. In Isaiah 55, verses 10 to 11, God's word that is sown will not return unto him void. It will accomplish its purpose and prosper. That is a promise. God will do his part in that. Hebrews 4, verse 12 also said, God's word is alive and powerful. Let's not never underestimate the power of God's word. And responsibility is to sow the seed and let the God speak through the seed that is sown. If people are going to find salvation and understand the gospel message, it'll not be because we have some eloquent way of saying something or speech, rather through just the simple message of the life-changing truth of the gospel that is shared. And it can be through a verse or through a verse of song. I had to think of even the many people that pen the words of the hymns we sing. It has touched many lives in streets, services, or whatever. There's something that God speaks through that, and that's because of faithful people who were willing to pen these songs because they understood the greatness of, or the realization of, their need to sow the seed. We take careful measures to, in our day, to, you know, limit and certain things with things like internet and stuff. But I believe there are some blessings in some of the modern things, ways that are used today to spread the gospel. But I think we need to be sure, and must be careful to be sure, that they are used in a way that faithfully communicates the word in its truth and its power. True conversion will only occur if we plant the proper seed. The sower who faithfully plants the proper seed often do not see the desired results of that planting that they did. The second point I have is the results depend on the type of soil. Here it says that some of this seed fell on good ground, sprang up, and bare fruit 100-fold. God will always bless the seed that is sown, and none of it ever goes to waste because God has used that to touch man. And when you think of eternity, when Christ returns, we free ourselves of the accountability if we would not sow that seed. We're free from that. We take the responsibility, the opportunities that God gives to us faithfully in sowing, that seed does not go void. There is desired results that come from that because of our faithfulness in doing that. But I believe it is important that we sow seed on the proper soil. One result was no reaction. There's indifference, and we see that with some people. And that is up to them. That is a choice that God has given to them, voluntary choice. But even though they may be indifferent, God still, we do not know how God works with them behind the scenes. We see that in this passage, it too, of the methods of where the seed landed only had temporary success. It says, some of it was trodden down, some of it the fowls of the air devoured it, some fell upon a rock and it sprang up, and then it withered away because it couldn't get moisture. Only one out of the four resulted in bearing fruit. You know, they say a salesman that sells a product, when he tries to sell his product, it's oftentimes about 1 out of 10 that actually will buy that product. But you know, if he really believes in that, he'll pursue and pursue. And he will be often successful because he believes in it. He knows what's in it. Even though he is turned down by many who are not interested in it. So it is good that we pursue and to not shy back from doing it. So when we think about this and where this seed has fallen, is it the seed's fault? No, I believe it isn't. What about the sower that sowed the seed? Is it their fault that some of this seed did not survive? No. Was it the type of soil? Yeah, I believe it had a lot to do with it, where that seed fell. Why it didn't flourish and continue on. Let's remember, we are still responsible to sow. I'd like to look at Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 17 to 19. Son of man, I've made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore hear thy word at my mouth, and give them warning from me. When I say to the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked from his wicked way, to save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity. But his blood will I require at thine hand. Yet if thou warn the wicked, and he turn not from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul. So our responsibility there, we can see in these verses, is to do our duty and due diligence in sowing that seed so that his blood is not upon our hands. We are free from that if we are faithful in telling him the word and the gospel message. If the soil rejects a seed, that is his responsibility in his choice. Also in Matthew 10, verses 14 to 15. Whosoever shall not receive you, nor hear your words when you depart out of the house of the city, shake off the dust of your feet. Verily I say to you, it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in that day of judgment than for that city. So let's not become discouraged when people turn away from God's truth. But let's continue on and press on and share this good news. The positive thing that we can learn in faithfully sowing the seed is every time we sow the seed, we are successful because we have done what God has called us to do. If a person rejects it, we have not failed. They have, because they rejected it. It was their choice. There's significance in sowing the seed. We need to learn the joy of sharing the word for its own sake. There is joy in sharing the message of salvation because the message salvation brings joy to one's heart. I'm impressed when one can with joy share the message, even when one is not kind back, but we can still with joy share it, just as Victor did there. Whether or not people accept him, we are still glad to serve the Lord in this way. There's also great delight when we see someone who believes and truly accepts Jesus as Lord. These are the blessings of reaping that we can, that are so such a blessing to witness. And I believe it is one of the most wonderful, miraculous things that we can see on this side of eternity. And when one accepts that and we get to witness a life that is changed. Another lesson we can take from this parable is that our goals in sowing the seed, our primary goal is to share the word of the gospel to many, to as many as we can. We're not necessarily keeping track of how many are converted by through our sowing, but rather we just faithfully sow. Third point I have is the place of the sower. I believe it is important how we view ourselves as sowers. Can we have a real effect or effectiveness when we sow the seed? We must see ourselves as needy people ourselves, and we can understand in a more real way why we are inspired to share this message. And it gives us a heart of appreciation for the grace of God in our life by humbly and joyfully doing our part in this area. We're simply sowing the seed and seeing too that the plants are watered. As it says, the seed needs water, and God needs also in responsibility of the sower is that he needs men and women who are willing to carry the water pots to keep that seed growing. And that is the blessings of the church, where we can collectively nurture and care for one another. And we'll bring more of that out later. But I had to think of my nephew, Nevin Mildonner's boy, as he watered their garden. You know, it took a lot of effort. He had to go down to a stream, dip his buckets. He had a stick over his shoulders with the bucket on each side, pack that water to make sure that them plants had their were properly watered so they could bear fruit. Took a lot of effort. But there was rewards in the end. And are we willing to take whatever effort it takes to nurture that seed? I'd like to also look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 5 to 7. Who then is Paul? And who is Apollos? But ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man. I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labors. For we are laborers together with God, yet God is a husbandry, ye are God's building. So we are called to do our part where God has placed us, whether we're the ones carrying the water or to sow the seed. God will give the increase when we are faithful and doing our part. Even those who tremble may not be and may not feel like they're eloquent or might not have much to say, God can still use you to reach others. Fourth one I have is the principle of sowing and reaping. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6 says, But I say, he which soweth sparingly shall ye also reap sparingly. And he which soweth bountifully shall also reap bountifully. So the effort that we put into sowing, if we don't put effort into it like we should, we're not going to receive the blessing from it that we should. But blessing doesn't only come from seeing. We don't always see the benefits or we don't always see the results of the seed that is sown, but we still receive bountiful blessing because we have done the work that God has called us to do. It is obvious if we desire to reap more, we must be willing to sow more. Many people fail in the area of evangelism because they sow sparingly, because maybe their heart isn't in it like they should be. Maybe they don't appreciate what the gospel has meant to them as they should. Maybe they feel a distant from God or let other things get in the way. They will have little results. We need to be passionate and zealous in our sowing. Another perspective in evangelism brings us to our fifth point. Often one sows the seed and another reaps. Winning souls involves sowing and reaping. When one sows a crop, it involves this preparing and planting. Reaping is the actual harvesting, and we all look forward to that in fall time. We look forward to bringing in the harvest that from our efforts of sowing and keeping that garden clean and reaping the benefits of that, the fruit that comes from that. There's blessing in when we see the benefits of one who benefits from the word of God, who accepts it and decide to obey it. In John 4, verse 37, it says, "And herein is the saying true, one soweth and another reapeth." Those who do the sowing do not always get to witness the reaping that one day may occur. Sometimes it's years later from somebody who has labored much on behalf of a person. Years later, maybe it's another generation where somebody has the benefits of reaping, of helping those who have turned to the truth from seed that was sown years before. Sixth one I have is the providence of God at work. In nearly every example of a conversion, God worked in some way to create an opportunity for the seeking person to hear the gospel. God knows the hearts and minds of all men. He knows the type of soil that this seed is going to be sown in. And God seeks those who are seeking him. He will make sure that those who hunger and thirst for righteousness will somehow be filled, as it says in Matthew 5, verse 6. It's a promise. It says, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled." This is where the providence of God comes in. He will open doors to give those who are seeking the truth an opportunity to be reached by someone who can teach them the truth or show them. God works in wonderful ways. The Lord will see to at some point in a person's life that they have an opportunity to hear the gospel. One of the ladies Miss Tatar there, she had talked about her experience in passing up an opportunity. She was searching, and she didn't have the courage to approach somebody when she seen them in a store. And she said she prayed and asked God to give her another opportunity to meet someone, to give her the courage. And that's how God works. You know, that happened where she was again given the opportunity to meet someone that she was looking for someone where to fellowship. And I believe they still are today. I'm not sure. I haven't heard from them recently. But that's how God works in the lives of people. And God will lead a truth seeker to the truth in some way or another. Another thing that is encouraging is to know in our sowing is that we are not alone in our efforts to lead the lost to Christ. When we engage in evangelism, we are God's fellow workers. God is with us. And let's never forget that. When we face times maybe of feelings where maybe we tend to maybe feel a bit discouraged because of how people have hardened their hearts to the message that we try to share with them, let's remember, God's with us. Let's keep our focus there and do our part. God will make good use of that. God opens doors for prepared workers. If we desire to be used in God's providence to reach those who are seeking truth, then we must ourselves prepare for this work. Prepare yourselves to be useful. What all goes into preparing? And part of that, I believe, is to be in daily communion with God. Be close to God. Have a heart for people. Understand what our call is on this side of eternity to do. And understand the seriousness of and accountability we have to share that. I'd like to look at 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19 to 21. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, that the Lord knoweth them that are his, and let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. So we need to purge ourselves from anything that would defile the heart, be sanctified, grow in him, prepare our hearts to be useful to God's kingdom. Congregations, individuals must prepare personally to teach and be able to teach. Congregations must also be ready and prepared to help new converts into the family of God, where they can be nurtured, protected during their vital stage in their new walk. This nurturing takes all of us together, working together. And that is the beauty of the church that just is such a blessing. And I believe, just as you think of our homes, a godly home, you know, our children find security and rest as the parents nurture them in truth and where they're loved and cared for, just so it is in the church. When God is our Father, directs and leads each one, we find ourselves where God has placed us. It brings rest to those who are newly converted and who are babes in Christ and needing to grow. If we prepare ourselves to be useful to the Lord's work, God's providence will open doors of opportunity for us to reach those in our community who are seeking truth. And last but not least, or my eighth point here is, prayer is also one of the most important parts in effective evangelism. Think of prayer as a key that opens and starts the process of God's providence in bringing together the lost and seeking soul with the prepared and seeking servant of the Lord. There's a song that comes to my mind that my dad used to, we sang as a family. I think it was one of his favorite songs, but I think it's a song that we should include in our prayer. And that is, lead me to some soul today. Oh, help me, Lord, just know what to say. This kind of prayer God hears. And it's so important that we have this in our hearts when we start our day. And God will open doors when we do this. This song, I believe, helps us also to understand that it's not that we have the answers, but that God is with us and that we depend on God to help us to find these souls that are needy. As we begin each day with a prayer, may we remember those who need salvation. May we be prepared vessels so that God can use us. Let's take the opportunity seriously and persevere in sowing the seed of truth, even though we know many, many will refuse and reject it. But let it not discourage you. Perseverance is key to success in evangelism. Those who persist in sowing the seed will eventually bear fruit. That is a guarantee. It might not happen right away, but sometime. We know God continues to work with them. Just as encouragement, I'd like to close with the verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. May God bless you. Faithfully serve Him and sow the seed that He has called us to sow. If our song leader could lead us in song number 187, the Christian hymnal, it's a song I thought of that fit with the message. God bless.